Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. I heard you missed me. We're back with another episode. Ladies and gentlemen, doing a quick little, not update, but just, an update. So remember when I was talking to Nick, English Nick, and we talked about Driving and Crying, and he mentioned that movie, Scarred But Smarter, done by Eric Von Hessler, who he now does a show with. I looked it up. I saw it. It got me immediately jonesing for Driving and Crying. Last night, I downloaded Mystery Road, which I haven't heard in forever, and it immediately brought me back to my high school days, early college years, although I didn't go to college, but, you know, those shortly after high school years. Fucking Honeysuckle Blue Man. And then I read what it was actually about. You know, sometimes you know what a song, you listen to a song forever, and then you learn the words, and then learn what maybe they meant. Anyway, it's still in my head right now. I'm not going to sing it for you because I sing badly and it's late. But update, if you're an Atlanta person, you know about DNC. You know about Driving and Crying. So go watch that movie, Scarred But Smarter. I got it on Amazon. It might be on Netflix, but it was free with my Prime membership on Amazon. Driving and Crying is playing this Saturday at the Variety Playhouse, and I'm going to that show. I'm really excited. I'm probably going to download another CD between now and then because I haven't heard their stuff in forever. What's that other one? The one that came right after Mystery Road or right before? It's very late. I can't think of the names of things. You're probably saying it to yourself right now. Anyway, if you're going to that show, look for me or shoot me a message. Anywho, that's Driving and Crying, little Atlanta Southern-ish news-ish. On today's episode, Corey James. Now, Corey, as you'll learn, I really only see a couple times, well, once a year, really. I almost said a couple times a year. I'm reminded by listening to this podcast that she now works in my neighborhood, so perhaps I'll see her more. But if you've read the little notes there, you know who she is generically and what she's about generically, but you're about to learn more. I actually did listen to this conversation. I rarely listen to the entire thing before I play these to you guys, and you get the beautiful unedited stuff that you get, but I actually listened to this one, and it's great. We have a great chat. She's a super cool chick. Hope you enjoy it. Away we go. All right, give me a little test.
Test.
All right, Corey. Good to see you.
You too, Matt.
I mean it.
I think I see you like once a year at
pretty much
at old Peachtree Road Rage.
It could be at this point. Those are the two times we've seen each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And luckily for you, God, my voice is like gonzo. I don't know if you know. I don't always sound like this.
I don't know. I've only seen you after a race when we're all huffing and puffing and
right. So
sound like we're dying.
Luckily for you, since we've met a year and a half ago now, July, August, September, whatever. I started this podcast where I talk to anybody I think is cool in Atlanta.
Oh, shucks.
So you qualify.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I always wonder why people think I'm cool, but.
You don't, come on.
We'll go for it.
Come on.
It's, you know, it's the job. People think tattooers are cool. And then they get to know me.
But you also have a lot of tattoos.
Well, yeah. That kind of comes with the territory.
Right, but I'm saying, like, by definition, doesn't that make you cool?
In some definitions that people have. I don't know.
Whereas if you look at me...
You look like a cool dude.
I look like a square.
A cool dude.
I am.
Dude with... You got some nice shoes. Got your little ankle socks. Those are cool. The ankle socks are in.
Well... there's not much clothing I own that I paid for, I'll be honest, because of the nature of my work.
Dude.
Right?
That's
including
total
this
score.
Phenomenal Garmin.
What?
But now
Garmin
you have to
too?
Now,
dude,
you have to balance that out with
jealous.
You have to balance that out with that. Mm. I don't have a current six-figure salary, right?
You think I do?
I'm running a business, right?
All right.
I have a big house with mouths to feed. That just it's. I think the term is like a sieve.
Oh.
You don't have kids yet, right?
No. Nope.
Okay. Are you going to?
Nope.
Whoa. Very clear about that.
Very clear.
How does Mr.
Same page.
James feel about that?
Same page.
Is he Mr. James?
No, he's Jason Krutzky.
Are you Mrs. Krutzky?
No, we're not married. We've just been dating for literally forever.
Okay. I hate to get this personal right away, but is that a plan? Or are you guys just going to do the, hey, we're dirty hippies and never get married?
We're just kind of like not in a hurry. We already bought a house together.
Oh, that's really sweet.
We're like practically married. People right. even refer to us as practically married, and we're right. totally fine with that.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, but I've gone this far. I'm 45. I know mm-hmm. I don't look it. It's okay. You have to say anything.
You really don't.
And I have zero tattoos or piercings. So at this point, I'm all in. I'm just going the rest of my life. Although I have the wacky thought that like, hey, wouldn't it be wacky if I finally got one? But I'm not going to do it.
But see, that's kind of like cool now. You're the outlier.
I am the
We're the majority now. We used to do it to be like the weirdos. Now
well,
we
once upon a time,
right
sailors and people in jail had tattoos.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And meth dealers.
Right.
Bikers.
I don't know anyone older or younger than me that doesn't have a tattoo, pretty much.
Yeah, I'd say like tattoo, at least one. Like the majority of humans, especially in North America, have at least one.
Right.
Nowadays.
Right. Where did you grow up?
Macon, around Macon.
So you are a Georgian.
Uh-huh. Born and raised.
And where did you go to high school?
Mary Persons High School in Forsyth, Georgia. It sounds like a private school. It's not.
Now, I'm guessing you're slightly younger than me.
Maybe a little.
Okay. Did you graduate in the 2000s?
Oh, yeah.
And something?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
2008.
Wow. What year does that make you born?
90, baby.
You're born in 90?
I'm a 90.
Is that a cool thing?
No, I don't know. It is in my head.
Okay. So that is around the time I graduated from high school.
Well, isn't that precious?
Is this what you sound like most of the time? We've
what
spoken
do you
so
mean?
We've spoken so
what do
little.
Do I sound like? Do I sound different than you expected me to sound?
Well, you know, we've spoken very briefly. Mm-hmm. I've basically said, hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
And like then, but then I was like, you're this cool chick. You're really fast. You have tattoos.
This is just my voice.
What's that?
This is just my voice.
Okay. Do you often get hired for voiceover work?
No. Definitely not.
Okay. So when you were in 2000, what'd you say? What year did you graduate?
2008.
In 2008, mm-hmm. when you graduated high school, uh-huh. your plan was to what?
Be a tattoo artist.
You're kidding me.
Dead serious.
How many did you have at that point?
I didn't get one until I was 18, and I graduated. I turned 18 after I graduated, so I waited like a couple weeks, used my graduation money, and got my first tattoos.
You say tattoos plural.
Because I got two. They're like the really totally unique idea that no one else did in 2008.
Wait a minute, what was 2000? I'm trying to think what was popular then that I could guess.
You know, the side of the belly button, like matching sparrows.
Oh, the yeah. matching sparrows. Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, yeah, I know like five other girls who have very similar tattoos.
Right.
I thought I was so unique.
Can we talk about, let's talk about tattoo choices.
Okay.
Do you ever have to hide a laughter / cringe grimace when somebody says, I want to get X, and you go, you know what might be better for you?
I mean, it happens. I've definitely done the thing where I'm like, so are you sure that's what you want forever? You want that band name on you there forever? Like, straight up, I'll be like, and if they say, no, I'm 100% positive, I'll be like, you're 100% positive. And then they go, yeah. And I'm like, all right, dummy, let's do this. I'm going to take your money. I'm not going to do it on their throat or anything, but I will refuse some stuff.
You don't
like,
do neck tattoos.
I mean, I will if someone's already really heavily tattooed. I'm not going to like.
But if they're not, you're not going to be there first.
Not on their neck.
Because you don't want to be the person that, you don't want to be the person that keeps them from being employed ever again?
Yeah, they're still called job stoppers for a reason.
Oh, is that what it's called?
They're called job stoppers, like you hands
wanna,
and neck.
You want to,
I have the job that allows me to have as many as I want anywhere I want.
For the rest of your life?
I think so.
Are you going to be a mama, 80-year-old biker lady?
Sure. That sounds nice.
Okay.
I'm just going to be like the heavily tattooed mom of lots of animals.
Okay, no children.
Right.
All right, so but let's back up a little bit, okay? So I had a situation once where a guy, it's strange, the mailman of where my office was, he'd like come in and deliver the mail. Mm-hmm. And I told him what I did. I had a staffing company. He's like, my son's going to come by. Can my son come by and talk to you? I'm like, sure, have him email me. He comes in, right? Mm-hmm. Neck tattoos out the wazoo. I have a staffing company, which means I have to send you in the public, mm-hmm. right, for these various marketing jobs.
Okay.
Maybe one out of 100 of those would be cool with that, but most of them wouldn't. And so I just told him flat out, and he was mad, and his dad was mad.
Yeah.
Mailman dad was really mad that, like, he just, like, hey, you know, you just stop being nice to me. And it's like, I wanted to go, dude, what do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, the times, they are changing, though. I mean, I really do think they're becoming more acceptable.
Well, I do.
But I think people need to plan ahead. If
no, like, my
throat and neck, they need to be prepared for the
right.
The
no, I'm judgment. My buddy Clayton has a couple on his arm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he told me that his current job, which is like DirecTV/AT&T, mm-hmm. he's got to wear long sleeves, and I'm like, dude,
isn't that crazy? Like TJ Maxx.
It's 2017, bro.
And people have Band-Aids, like giant bandages over their tattoos, and
it's like,
come on,
let's grow up a
I'm
little
buying
bit.
Buying an $8 shirt,
and he's not. Like, we're not even talking on. A sleeve.
Just talking like a couple tattoos,
right? Oh, you know what was very 2008? Now that I think about it, speaking of, is the tribal thing, right?
Tribal was definitely still going strong.
Is it still going strong?
No, it's really died off. At least in I'm very grateful for the niche that I have found, because I haven't encountered much tribal.
What is your niche, Corey?
That I've kind of developed a bit of a clientele.
Hmm.
They go, hey, I want your tattoos, and I do not specialize in tribal. So I don't really have to do it.
You specialize in what?
I call it traditional, which is like the American traditional.
I love mom.
Sailor, yeah, like sailor tattoos, but like
classy,
or at least stylized off of the sailor tattoos from, you know, the early 50s, 60s, all that
right.
stuff, but made more modern and
right.
a lot
okay,
more color.
Let me ask you this, as a layman, as I am a layman, mm-hmm. I haven't even been in any tattoo parlors, is that the term? Shops?
Shop is fine.
I haven't been in, I haven't had a reason.
Never been into one?
No, I've walked into one,
no.
but I don't hang out with them.
That's okay.
So somebody like yourself,
mm-hmm.
who has a plentiful, do you know what percentage of your body is covered by a tattoo?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. I thought you wouldn't know the number, but you
not
might know.
Not an exact percentage.
Well, I know you might not know the
I'm
number.
I'm a tattooer. I'm not a mathematician here, sir.
And apparently, like, you know, I've seen blogs or whatever where, like, mm-hmm. oh, people ask me the lamest questions because I have these tattoos.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
However, mm-hmm. if you have a lot of tattoos, and I'm speaking to you as a person,
yeah,
it might eventually come up.
That people want to know how many I have?
Or whatever the other
thing.
Just
like the dumb questions? Yeah, I mean, it happens.
But I'm saying, like if somebody goes, oh, like, how many do you have? Like, that doesn't, like, it seems like it's got, I can't not, I'm talking to a person who is covered yeah. in ink.
I just,
or
I
to
mean,
say, what does that one mean? What does that one mean?
That's all. See, when you start doing though, like, especially like if a stranger comes up to me and goes, oh my God, what does that mean? I was like, my dog ate a bird and choked on it. That's what I was like. No, that's not what it means. It might mean something really personal. And I think a lot of people that are heavily tattooed get tired of people asking them because they have to go, look, it's a long story. I don't really want to tell you. I don't know you.
But like,
you don't want to know it.
But like,
trust me.
Okay, so but if we were hanging, right? Like, we'd uh-huh. done like half a dozen races together and we were chilling and I was like, I never noticed that one. What about that one? You might say to me,
oh, yeah.
Matt, you're
I
a normal
mean,
guy.
If my like homies ask me, of course I'm going to go, oh, that one's for my mom because she's the coolest.
Right.
But if some stranger, it's just the thing with strangers not realizing, like just crossing over boundaries.
Right. It's like when a stranger wants to touch a pregnant person's belly.
Exactly.
Or
it's
a
like
black
you're,
girl's
you're
hair.
Like, yeah. Well, I can never understand what that's like. But, you know, the whole thing where it's like, I'm suddenly a circus act, and people are like, oh, hey, dance monkey, what do you do? And it's like, no. Need some water.
Wow, that's funny.
I mean, you get used to it, because that's definitely a thing I also tell people, like young people, when I start tattooing them, if they get like a saying or they want a bunch of lettering, I'm like, get ready, because people are going to ask you what that says all the time. And it's true. I don't have any much lettering. I have my knuckles done and a couple of other ones.
Do you have love and hate?
I have love, y'all.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
I got my rings on.
Oh, okay.
Ugh. I told you, this one doesn't come off very
long. You don't have to take it off. I believe you. So that's a very, that I think is going to have to be our cover photo. Like, remember,
yeah.
So I just want to thank Corey, who took the time to take the previous guests. And I'm not going to say who it was, because these don't necessarily aren't released in order.
Mm-hmm.
Some podcast magic for you. These don't actually happen. This isn't happening the day you've heard it. It's probably multiple weeks later. But I think that's going to, don't you think, would that be cool?
Oh, yeah. That's like my saying. I put it on all my stickers and paintings. I put love, y'all.
Right.
I signed.
What if somebody
emails.
Said, "I want to love y'all," and you were like,
"Yeah,"
you wouldn't be like, "That's my shit. That's my jam. You
can't
have it."
I mean, if people wanted to get a bunch of love y'all tattoos, because that's my thing, I'd be like, "Fuck yes, let's do a bunch of love y'all tattoos."
So you have stickers?
I do have stickers. Do you want one? I have one in my purse right now.
Yeah. Do you?
These are my old ones. I just got new ones, but I don't have them with me. But they also say love y'all.
And you give them to people? You put them on skateboards?
Yeah, I just give them away for free. Love y'all.
Oh. CJ, that's you.
That's me.
Live Free ATL, that's us.
Mm. That is my former.
Oh.
Yes, I have the new.
Okay.
Right.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We will get to that. So where's the first place you worked?
Live Free. Or, well, I apprenticed at another space, but it eventually became Live Free, and that's where
I finished.
When
am I going to get a new one then? I was about to put this on my, going to put it right on my.
You can. That one would be good for that. My new one is a peach. Because I'm a peach lady. I do a lot of peaches.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why peach. You're like such a fan of the rage.
That's why I did the t-shirt this year, is because I do a lot of peaches. So
the Dirty Pits, that was you?
Mm-hmm, that was me.
That's awesome.
They asked for a very specific
I actually had Kyle on, and now that I think about it, I haven't played his yet. I've got to play his.
Oh, I love him.
Right?
I want to hear his, because he's just a genius and very eloquent, and I know that it will sound just amazing.
And he has a very specific way of speaking.
Yeah, he's awesome. He sent me a postcard from his house to my job. He lives like a mile and a half from me. He
right.
sent a postcard, and it's the most amazing postcard I've ever gotten. It's one of the ones where it's an old romance novel cover, but they changed the name, and it's like a girl, and she's leaning her head back, and the guy's like really close to her face, really specifically close to her chin, and it says "suck my nasty chin." And then he just wanted to send me a silly postcard, and I think he was just encouraging me for my next race. He's like, "You're gonna do great at your next race."
I'm gonna take a picture right now and send it to him.
Do it,
you're making me think of him,
because he's the best.
All right, hang on, I'm gonna have to put the microphone down. All right, there we go. So, Kyle, is it Turok? Turok?
Mm-hmm.
How do you say it?
Oh, I don't know. I actually met Kyle through one of his friends that I tattooed, and then I gave Kyle his first tattoo and second. How many? Now three. I think I've tattooed him three times now.
Okay, hang on 1 second.
Yeah.
I'm going to do voice to text, which is going to be super interesting on the podcast.
Do it.
Thinking about you. He said, "Corey James! ! P.S. By the way, speaking of this, do you know that I interviewed the Siri lady?
What? Oh wait, no, I did see that. I saw it on your thing.
Pretty cool, right?
That's awesome.
You should listen to that.
How did you get in touch with the Siri lady?
Well, clearly you're not recognizing my celebrity.
Apparently, you have lots of connections.
He said, "Everyone's favorite triathlete and wonder gal." That's
see?
You.
He's just that guy. Ugh.
Hey, dude! I realize I haven't played your episode yet. I promise I will. So, quickly, let's do a quick little... This is the ATL podcast. It's actually the Atlanta podcast. I almost thought about calling it the ATL podcast, but I thought it's too on... You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
I get it.
Too... Mm.
There's lots of ATL things.
Right, and I'm proud to be ATL, and mm-hmm. I will buy shit that says ATL. My race is called Run the ATL, right?
Yeah.
But for the podcast, I thought, Let's be the Atlanta podcast.
Let's go for Atlanta.
It also helps in search.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So now I'm talking to, I have to hit him on, I have to put this on fucking pause or whatever. So now I'm doing two things at once. I may or may not have ADD.
That's okay. I mean, I'm very
similar. Some people don't think it exists. If it does exist, I have it. That's what I say.
I would consider myself in that realm.
Yeah. Do you take medication?
No, I'm just very easily distracted.
Okay.
I make lists. I have a list in my purse right now because I will forget everything.
I make lists and then don't look at them.
See, I make the list and I have to put it in my pocket where I keep my chapstick so that every time I reach in to grab my chapstick, I grab the list too and go, oh yeah. Like, there's a method.
Well, you mentioned chapstick. I don't want to brag too much, but I did just go to Europe. And
oh, shit.
I'm really chapped. It was snowing there.
Oh, what part of Europe?
Andorra.
Where the fuck is Andorra? Am I allowed to cuss on this, by the way?
No.
Oops.
Yes.
Where the F is that?
When I went to Andorra, I posted on the Facebook, mm-hmm. and I circled it on the map and said, here's where I'm going to save you your next question.
Yeah.
Here's Andorra. So there's Spain.
Uh-huh.
There's France.
Yep.
Right in between there.
Cool. Dope. It's already snowing there?
Well, it's not supposed to. It was freakish.
Oh, bizarre.
So the fuck was I talking about?
Oh, no. I can hear it trickling through that very bright red pipe on the wall.
That may or may not be the toilet flushing, but these are directional microphones, so no one's hearing it.
Just so you guys know.
I hope you're not repulsed.
It's a lot of trickling.
I hope you're not repulsed.
I'm not. It's totally fine.
Okay. What were we talking about?
I don't remember. Kyle Torok. Or Torok. Torok.
Oh, what's Kyle's name?
Peachtree Road Rage.
So.
Tattoos.
So
peaches,
here's the funny story about Kyle and I. Okay. Ooh. And I have not told this story on the podcast yet.
Oh.
So I will tell it. Well.
Very excited. Should I not be?
So I. Moved to the West End.
Yeah.
My friend Clayton, we went for, he lives in the West End, and we were running on, this is before the concrete was there. It's just dirt.
Oh, yeah, the pre-Beltline dirt.
And he was like, there should be a race that goes all the way about the Beltline. And I was like, you are damn skippy. And I set on to do it. Mm-hmm. And my friend John Tackett said, you should talk to Kyle. Okay. I don't know Kyle. I messaged Kyle. Hey, Kyle, I'm going to do this race. I heard you did it 5 years ago. On your own, do you want to get on the phone with me? He writes me back, I don't get on the phone with people. But he sends me like 4 pages of details.
Oh.
And I was like, these are great, but can we please talk? He's like, nope.
Really?
Yep.
That is hilarious.
So then I do figure it out. I'm not a great like details guy, but I somehow figure it out. I, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going with an iPhone and reading his directions.
Oh, okay. So he just like made up the finish.
Him
route?
And another guy, I forget his name, did it when it was way worse than it is now.
Oh,
when
wow.
The east side wasn't even done yet. You know, way long time ago.
Yeah.
And then I heard like that he didn't like that I was doing, I don't know, something. It just was like, it was weird.
Uh-huh.
And then I finally met him at his race. And I was like, do you not like me? And he was like, I think it's great what you're doing, and we've become friends since.
Good.
But it was weird at first.
Yeah, you know, maybe he felt like you were stepping on his territory.
I think maybe. But now he's a fan.
And now he's just the coolest.
He is the coolest.
Oh, God. Anytime anybody brings up Kyle, I'm like, oh, my God, he's the coolest. I'm
right.
So glad I know Kyle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So when did your athletic journey begin?
Well, which part? The running or the triathlon part or just all of it?
All of it.
Okay. Well, way back in 1990 when I was born. Just kidding. Okay, so I was always an athlete growing up. I was a runner, very hyperactive, played a lot of soccer. And then I went to college. I got good and lazy.
Where'd you go to school?
Georgia State.
Okay.
I didn't graduate. I hated college.
I also did not graduate college.
Because it sucked. No offense to Georgia State, just college in general, not
yep,
my thing.
I'm with you.
I don't like having people tell me what to do. So I went to college, gained some weight. Not even a lot, just, you know, I'm a young woman, so I was already insecure enough. like just being alive, like seriously,
just being a human being.
Yeah, just being a human being at the age of like 18, anywhere between the age of 13 to like 25 is just like, fuck, man.
Quick side note.
Yeah.
Most guys, like, we think we look good in everything. We're like the exact opposite.
That's the worst.
Except, little trick. Okay, I'm 45 now, and I put on a little bit, and I'm totally self-conscious.
Oh, really?
I am hyper-conscious. Aww. It's all I see in pictures.
No.
I know.
You need to, all right, we gotta figure that out for you, though. Because you don't need to be self-conscious about that. If it's a health thing.
Well, I'm clearly not obese.
You're not obese. But if you feel like you could be healthier.
I just want to eat whatever I want and look good. What is the problem with that?
You know, there's no problem with wanting that.
I just ate at the Highland Bakery. It's fucking delicious.
Oh, fuck yeah, it is.
I eat at Fred's 2 or 3 times a week. It's delicious.
What'd you get at Highland Bakery?
I eat at fucking Waffle House at least once a week. It's delicious. I want to be able to eat at these places and not have this. Is that so wrong?
I think, you know, that I don't think that it's wrong for you to want that. Is it possible? I don't know, unless you do some like activities.
Well, I do run.
Well, there you go. Well, I mean, are you do you feel like you're a healthy person?
Yes.
Then you're fine.
But I don't like what I look like.
Okay. Well, then you got to do work on an up here, up in your noggin. That's what it is.
See, listen to you, young and wise, right?
Because it's the truth. That's what I had to work on for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I literally have post-its on my mirror that I put up today that say stuff like, girl, you look good. Like, for real.
All right,
I have
so
to
we're gonna,
still at
all right,
this
so
point.
Since you went there, we're going to go there. We're going to go there.
Okay.
I've done a lot of work on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've done a lot of 12-step stuff. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of seminar stuff, little therapy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you any one of those three things?
I am not. I'm more of, at least for myself, it's all been either kind of just self-exploration and just kind of, or and also just feeding off of other people's stories, like people overcoming stuff and kind of going, okay, that worked for them. I got to start trying that. I did go to therapy, for a short time when... So back to the athlete thing. It all started because I developed an eating disorder.
Okay.
But in college. Well, before college.
Which one?
Well, I don't have like, I was never diagnosed because I was in denial. I didn't go to a doctor for it. And I never got hospitalized.
But I mean, did you binge and purge? Did you not eat at all? Did you just didn't, like, you had, what do you call it? Dysmorphia?
Well, I mean, I think anybody with an eating disorder has dysmorphia.
I think I have it, but go ahead.
Well, you probably do because you're looking in the mirror and seeing something terrible when everybody else is going, dude, you look great. What are you talking about? So when I was working out extensively and not eating. That was my thing. I was taking in very, very small amounts of calories, if any, and then running 6 miles a day.
Would you pass out easily?
I never passed out. I'm just very stubborn. I'm not the pass outing type in the sense that I literally would not let myself pass out. It's weird. I know.
Did you drink and do drugs in college?
Mm-mm. I drank, but I've never done drugs. I've smoked weed. I don't even like that.
Did you get offered a lot of drugs?
Well, yeah, it was college.
I thought maybe as a tattoo person, maybe it comes the territory.
No, see, and that's a stereotype that I, just as a tattooer and as a human, am trying to break. Because it's a very real stereotype that a lot of tattooers live up to. But not all of them, man. I literally have never tried drugs in any way.
Well, you said weed, so that counts.
Except for weed. That does not count. That's like, okay, I got high and had a panic attack, and then I was like, nah, I'm not feeling this.
Right. So you have the eating disorder. You decide to run a lot. You're not eating.
Yeah. So I started going to therapy eventually once it got to the point where I was obviously sick and couldn't avoid it anymore. And tell people that it was just because I was running and quit smoking. Like, oh, I'm healthy now. That's why I've lost all this weight. And my hair's falling out. I look terrible. Yeah.
I'm 22 and my hair's falling out. Yeah. No biggie.
It's fine.
NBD.
So, you know, there's a lot of denial with eating disorders as well.
Right.
So that's why I tried therapy for that. And then I had this just terrible therapist. She was awful.
Dude, there's good and bad. And some people get a bad one the first time and never go back.
That's what happened to me.
I've had the gamut. I've had really good and really bad.
She was terrible because, I mean, I went to her because she said that she, like, specialized in eating disorders. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to kick this shit. Let's do it, lady.
And then she offered you some cake?
No, just she made me write down all my food. She made me write down in a journal. It's like, as if woman, I am not obsessing enough over what I eat. Now you want me to look at it and on paper? So that made it worse. It literally got worse going to therapy. So I kicked her to the can because she was also a snooty bitch. So anyway, eventually I turned it around thanks to a lot of friends and their support and them kind of telling me their stories and their histories with it, because sadly it's extremely common with young women. And I started doing yoga, started getting a little bit on the vibey spiritual side of things and trying to connect on a different wavelength, man.
I believe in all that stuff, dude.
I totally do too, and it changed my life. I don't even do yoga anymore, but I consider myself a yogi still because it changed my life. I don't have time for it anymore, and my yoga now is essentially triathlon training.
Well, that's we make time for the things time. We want to make time for, so.
Well, yeah, and that's why, like, triathlon is my priority now.
Right.
But I think yoga served its purpose. I'll do it every now and then. I don't go to weekly classes anymore or anything, but it's like, oh, man, that stuff, like, ugh.
So when did you start training for tries, bro?
That was three years ago, maybe closer to four now. I had been running for a while. I did a couple of marathons and I was getting really burnt out, and I was also pretty mediocre, and it was just kind of like, I was very much plateauing.
What's a mediocre marathon time for you?
It was like, I think my fastest one was like 4:15. Which for me, I just wanted, I just couldn't get any faster though. I very much plateaued.
Right. To people who don't run, I will explain that like four and under is considered like pretty good.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
Like the fastest people in the world do it in 2:20.
Which is insane.
Right. But those regular folks, if we can do a half in under two and a full in under four, those are considered like, hey, I got my thing.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with that.
But you thought, hey, let me try this thing, which is like swimming and biking too?
Well, I had developed a bunch of like hip and knee problems, mainly because I was still coming out of my eating disorder. And I think just like my bones and everything were just a little bit weaker and my joints were angry at me. So I had overtrained for my last marathon. Have you ever overtrained before? It's the worst. You can't sleep.
I've DNF'd a few times, so overtraining is not a thing. That's I've DNF'd some ultras, bro. So I've never overtrained.
Oh, ultras, terrifying. Yeah, I had overtrained, which means you're doing too much. You're not getting enough rest, and you're just not recovering. Like your body just can't keep up. So I had trouble sleeping. My appetite was all kinds of jacked. I was having more anxiety, all these like hip problems. So a client of mine recommended me this book, and I will tell everyone in the world about this book. I tell people about it all the time because I love it. It's Chrissy Wellington's book, and it's A Life Without Limits. And she is a four-time Ironman world champion holder, like, and world record holder. Like, she's incredible, and it's her book. And she struggled with an eating disorder when she was younger, and it was her like story about overcoming it and then kicking a bunch of ass in triathlon. And I was like, all right, I know what I want to do next. And I literally signed up for a triathlon like 3 weeks later.
And how do you usually fare?
I do pretty okay. I do all right now that I've had a coach for 3 years now.
Right.
And
have you been to Kona?
No, I haven't done a full yet. I just did the half Ironman World Championships for the first time in Chattanooga a couple weeks ago.
And how did you do?
Oh, I had a terrible, terrible day. I still don't know what happened. I cramped in places I've literally never cramped in before.
I mean, you're laughing about it now. Are you the kind of person the day of goes like, fuck? Like, do you like really beat yourself up, or are you?
Oh, I definitely like got pretty upset immediately afterwards. And then once I kind of came down and realized like, okay, I just finished though. I pushed through. I made it to Worlds. This was still really bad.
What does one have to do to get to Worlds?
I got really lucky because Women for Try is a, I don't know what you would call them, like an association or something, that it's an offshoot of Ironman. And they are trying to get more women in long distance triathlon. So they allocated, I think, an extra 200 slots for Worlds for the top age groupers, like X amount of age groupers in Ironman standings. So you get like points for every Ironman race you do or half Ironman race that you do. And I got offered one of those slots. So normally you have to qualify at a race. But, and I mean, me being the competitive athlete that I am, I still feel like that didn't quite count. And now I really want to qualify the normal way.
Which is
at a race. Like, you have to be like...
Like podium at a race.
Podium at a race.
So, we got to explain this. We have to assume not everybody is a wonderful athlete type person. And explain people the distances.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the full marathon, the full triathlon.
Full Ironman.
Full Ironman. Mm-hmm. Right, which is a brand of triathlon, but really
it's the distance is considered the full.
Right. Yeah. The full distance, right. and the championship of that race is...
Kona,
which is in Hawaii. Mm-hmm.
That's in a couple weeks, actually, or a few weeks.
I'm sure we can watch it on NBC Sports Network. Uh-huh. And the swim is how long?
The swim for a full is 2.4 miles.
Right. And then the run is...
Well, it's the bike.
Sorry, then the bike is a hundo.
112
miles. And then you run a marathon of 26.2.
Yes.
You did exactly half of that, right?
I did 70.3 total.
Right. Yeah. So if you've seen one of those 70.3 stickers...
That's what they mean.
That's what they mean. Which means you swam 1.1?
1.2, 56 miles on the bike, and then a 13.1 half marathon.
Got it. Mm-hmm. And that is your goal, to get to that?
I've done the halves. I want to get to the full.
But I'm saying you want to get to the Kona, right? Isn't that the big...
Hell yeah.
Isn't that what everybody wants?
That's like every triathlete's dream.
Now, I'm going to say something somewhat controversial.
Oh, shit.
But my experience with triathletes...
Oh no. Where is this going?
Is that they lean towards douchebaggery.
You think so?
There's not a lot like...
Are you calling me a douchebag right now?
I hate to do it, but this podcast, we get real.
We get real in a room with no windows, and he's calling me a douchebag.
And a toilet pipe running.
And a toilet, trickly toilet pipe, and I'm getting called a douchebag.
Well, here's the deal, Corey. You can break that stereotype, because the people have very expensive bikes.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Very wealthy people in general.
Right.
Yeah.
And can be douchebags. That's sort of the rap on...
That definitely happens. I think that can happen in any sport.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Of course it can happen in any sport. There's plenty of Spartan OCR people I would never be caught dead with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I say this like those of us that are like this, some people call us crazy, right?
Totally.
So everybody, if you do an ultra, if you're doing tries, if you're doing 30 obstacle races a year, you're kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, totally.
It's not normal.
Yeah.
But what kind of crazy do I want to be around? That's what I say.
Yeah,
some of these people I love. Some of these people I say, kids hide.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, where was I going with this? So,
what level of douche am I? Is that the question?
Is there, like, here in Atlanta, we have, like, Jason and the Yetis, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like the anti-Atlanta track club, right?
Yeah.
They're like, we're wild and crazy, and we drink, and we curse, and we don't care what fucking shorts and shoes you're wearing.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of that in Tri? Is there, like, some really, like, not-so-rich bike people?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's who you hang with.
Yeah. I mean, well, okay. So, I'm a member of Atlanta Track Club, Tri. Let me get that clear. Tri Club.
But you're also a member of the Snack Club.
You're probably a founding member of the Snack Club. I don't know. I don't think I would be considered that. But I'm a big supporter. But through the Tri Club, okay, because I came into triathlon like, holy shit, no matter where I go, I know I'm going to be the poorest person here. For sure.
Right.
And it's still true to this day. And it will continue to be that way. Like, I have some... ridiculously wealthy friends, but they are amazing human beings too.
Do they treat you to lunch? Because that's the least they can do.
Well, no, my pride doesn't let me do that. Come on, man. You kidding me? It's like, look, I know y'all rich, but like, I got this Chick-fil-A sandwich. It's cool. I got this.
If somebody whips out their credit card, I say, thank you.
Thank you.
And then I say, thank you again after we finished. I go, that was really sweet of you. Thank you.
And then
I do it for somebody, yeah, right? When I'm hanging out with one of my homies and he's like tight and I know it, I'm like, oh, mm-hmm, I got you.
See, I like being that one that like sneaks away, and even though I'm the poor friend, like, bought all y'all bitches dinner. And then like, I don't know, that's just one of my favorite things to do. Because it's just money, I don't care. But anyways, where I'm getting to is the douchebaggery is a scale. There are rich assholes that have $10,000 bikes, and I will shove that bike down their throat when I kick their ass on the race on my not as expensive bike that I'm very lucky to even have because it's not mine, and I have an ambassadorship through
a place. With?
With Podium Multisport. Let me just throw that out there. / all three sports.
I would think... With your athletic talent, mm-hmm, and your general overall look, mm-hmm, you are a very marketable person.
See, I would have to agree with you on that. And I would love for you to tell Garmin that so I don't have to buy another watch ever again. Maybe hit up.
Listen, well, listen, listen to me. Listen, yes, to me. How's your Instagram game?
Dude, I like try. I mean, I'm a tattoo artist. I got to Instagram the hell out of myself.
Okay, so what's your current followers?
I have a triathlon Instagram as well.
And let's talk turkey here. This is my area of expertise.
Help me out,
I'm
bro.
I'm good at the social. Yes.
Yes, help me.
So this whole obstacle thing,
mm-hmm,
like I built it.
That's crazy.
By social media.
Amazing.
Right. So, and I got a lot of help. But anyway, so I'm saying it's what I've been doing the last 5 years.
Awesome.
So how many followers do you have right now?
For my triathlon Instagram, I have 2,000. And for my tattoo Instagram, I have like 8,600.
Okay.
So, I need that K, man. I need the K behind my followers.
Right.
Yeah, once you get the K, Instagram.
Once you get the K, it's kind of a big deal. I'm still not certified, though, or verified.
You have to get like the little check.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
That's you.
Facebook, you can ask for it. Instagram has to deem you.
Oh.
But let's be honest, okay? This is not, what's the word? Sexist?
Oh, God.
She's like totally
if
frightened.
If you have to start a sentence with that.
I'm not racist.
Oh, my God.
I'm not racist.
Oh, my God.
My best friend at work is black.
Oh, my God. Help me. Oh, my God.
Let's just call a spade a spade. You're not horrible to look at, Corey.
Oh, okay. That's where you're going.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay.
I have a face.
But you get what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is me not trying to pick you up as a human being. This is me saying, from a marketing perspective.
Market my face.
And you've got the...
I have stand out in the crowd.
But I'm saying, but like, you're not just like some like overweight biker mom with a bunch of tattoos. You're a relatively attractive person. You have cool tattoos. You break the stereotype. So it would be super badass with you in your tri-suit. People be like, I want to be like that girl.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I mean, I get that, yeah.
So... keep doing good and work on your IG game and you'll get some sponsorships. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I have a couple. A couple now.
Listen, getting free stuff is better than...
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Right.
Dude.
Like I said, I'm everything except these shorts. I bought these shorts at, I believe, Target or Ross.
Nice.
Everything else on me, right? Socks, shoes. Like, this is all somebody else's thing.
Damn, that's what's up.
I know. Now, again, like... Mm-hmm. You know, I got my own business and I'm like, you know, it's not all sugar fairies and lollipops.
Oh, yeah.
So free stuff is good.
Very true.
And I would say I would try to hook you up with Garmin, but they put the clamp down. I used to be able to get whatever. And then the last time I asked, they were like, here's a coupon. But actually, it's not a bad coupon. It's like 40 or 50%. So it's still pretty
good.
Yeah,
what's
your, this is the Phoenix 3 with heart rate? What is yours of choice?
The one I have now, because I have a hand-me-down, because I'm that triathlete, is the Forerunner 920.
Yeah, XT. See, I've never had it in the 9s. I've only had the... Is this the 4, maybe? Maybe this is the 4.
I don't know about the Phoenix stuff. I've never had a Phoenix. I like to look at them.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of...
But then I can't afford them.
They're kind of... I think gaudy is the word.
Oh, they're pretty big, yeah.
And I'm not even like, I don't need nerdy stuff. I just need time, distance, elevation. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. And like a proof on Strava. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Is that so wrong?
Like, so you're a Strava-er.
Well, here's the deal. You want to hear something only people who run and do stuff care about that a lot of people listening won't?
Mm-hmm.
I started on Runkeeper.
Ooh,
on my phone.
Oh yeah.
Before I even owned a watch, because
when
I began
Nike Plus.
When I began running in 2011, mm-hmm. there was no dream of opening an obstacle racing media. Blah blah blah.
Wow,
so I ran and I used Runkeeper. Okay, mm-hmm. and then my first Garmin was like the 210, like the shittiest one. Right?
My first one was like the big gnarly Forerunner. Like it's seriously like a full inch thick. Just massive. Getting a wetsuit over that thing was ridiculous.
So I did that for like a year or two. Mm-hmm. And then someone said, you know, you can sync everything through Strava. So I have every run I've ever done since December 2011. Okay. That's pretty fucking cool.
That's pretty great.
And once in a while I can go, oh, how was I doing this time last year? What about that race from 2014? Right?
That is pretty nice.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like about Strava. Not like I don't communicate with it. I don't like people's posts.
Yeah,
I don't comment.
Yeah, I like it, I guess.
If
I
somebody
just don't look at it.
If somebody follows me, I follow them back.
Yeah.
But, and it's good to keep track of the shoe mileage. That's a good one, too.
Oh.
Because you tell
true.
It what shoes
you
wore.
You can do that. I don't.
And then, I mean, usually you can tell by looking anyway.
I just tell by how terrible my feet and knees feel. And I'm like, meh. I guess I'll get it.
Yeah, usually that's part of the thing too. But let's get back to you, Corey.
Yes.
Let's get back to why you're not marketable. Can I perhaps represent you and take a small percentage?
Because
I feel like you're super marketable.
What is happening right now? Am I signing a contract? Is this a blood oath? What's happening? Did I just get reeled in?
I mean,
make me Insta-fame.
Offline.
I want that check mark. I want that K.
Offline. To stop talking like a redneck. That's my first lesson for you. Stop talking like a goddamn
redneck.
This
is my life. This is my market.
Listen, offline we'll talk about Instagram stuff because it's not that hard, honestly.
Okay, cool.
Because, there isn't that in sport, right? There's like a very specific look that people are used to. And so you can break all that mold and be the superstar rad tattoo / athlete.
That'd be tight. I'd dig that.
That's tight.
Mm-hmm. I'm bringing that back tight.
When did we say that?
I feel like I was saying tight in at least middle school or high school, for me personally, back in the day.
Do you remember Raising the Roof?
Of course I do.
Okay. How about, I'm trying to think of another phrase that's out of Crunk.
Well, I'm trying to bring back, Crunk was a good one. I'm trying to bring back Butthole. Instead of calling someone an asshole, be like, man, stop being such a butthole right now. And they're going to straight up look at you like, did you just call me a butthole? Situation diffused.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I do that.
I want to talk more about this tattoo business.
Okay.
So when you say what you said about like, hey, are you sure you want this? It is forever. Like, and then they just, of course they're going to say yes. Do they ever say, you know what? You're right.
I mean, yeah.
Have you ever said, why don't you go home and sleep on it and come back tomorrow? Because that seems like that would help a lot.
I've done that. I did that earlier on. But now if people have set an appointment with me, I usually won't set the appointment until I know like for sure that it's cool. I don't get that kind of stuff very often anymore.
Because people come to you personally. Because you have a clientele.
I have a clientele. And they usually come to me and they want like an image with some stuff. It's usually the lettering ones that I'm like, are you sure you want to get that Fall Out Boy lyric? You sure you're going to like them in 10 years? Positive? 100%?
Well, the name of the partner is the one that I'm always like.
Oh, I will talk someone. I talked a girl out of that last week. She wanted to get her boyfriend's name hidden like in a corner on her chest on this cover up I was doing. And I was like, I'm just going to tell you a little story.
About
the name curse.
About.
About how?
About Winona Forever?
The name curse, man.
Are you familiar with that story?
Who was that? Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got Winona Forever, I think, on his butt.
Ooh.
Of all places. Ooh. And that's what I say whenever anybody says they're going to. I'm like, dude, Winona Forever.
Yeah. Or a Billy Bob.
What did Billy Bob get?
Angelina and Billy Bob both got each other's names in Tribal Dragons.
So you're.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's a curse, meaning not only do you might break up, you're going to break up.
Guaranteed.
Right.
100%.
So no matter how much you love your man, you would never get his name.
No, hell no. I love him too much to do that to our relationship.
And he would never do that to you.
Well, no, because he's not dumb.
Is he tatted up?
He has a few. He doesn't have very many.
He didn't meet. Did he meet you at the parlor?
No, I met him through the lead singer of his band.
Which was?
Stone Rider, Matt Tanner.
Do I know? Are they a big local band?
They're big in my heart.
Aww.
No, they're great. They've toured. They've toured a lot. I went on tour with them last year in Europe. So that was, I feel like that's a pretty big.
And what were you?
I was just there.
When you said you went on tour, were you the opening act?
No, I just wanted to go. And my boyfriend's amazing said, hey, we're going, because this was their second European tour. The right. First European tour, we'd only been dating for like a year. So I wasn't going to be like, yo, I'm coming. And then the second time, as soon as they got it, he was like, do you want to go? I was like, well, fuck yeah, I want to go to Europe. Will I ever go on tour with a band of four men in a van for a month?
Because it
in
smells
Europe?
Bad?
Not the smell. Okay. Just the overall, like, get the fuck away from me after a month of being in a small van together. I love them all very much. I think I almost strangled each and every one of them at least twice.
Because they get on your nerves?
After a while, you know, close quarters, man. It starts to happen.
Okay.
Except for Jason. He was the only one I didn't get annoyed with.
That's who you love.
That's my boyfriend.
Right.
That I live with and stuff. So we're used to close quarters.
But the other guys, you're like, I can't stand these dudes.
Oh my God, I was getting so, so tired of it. But it was fun.
Because they were loud?
Just, you know, it's just things start getting stressful. And then like the little thing that right, you're like, you just pick it out.
You're
and
standing
you're like,
next to my spoon!
I'm going to kill you. Yeah, right. You know, just the.
I don't like people standing next to my spoons.
Yeah, spoons are important.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know.
Right. So when one does what you do, mm-hmm. I was like, these leading questions I'm doing with you, she starts to look very frightened. How, like, if somebody's any good, right, how long does it take for someone to begin to just be like, hey, we're gonna hire you, and like, I don't know, you get a chair, like, how does it work? Like again, like, if you're a hairstylist, you just go, and they just give you people, and then eventually you get your own people.
Gotcha.
How do you ever get, you know what I'm saying? How do you get work?
Well, for tattooing, like, I apprenticed for 2 years almost. Sorry, I'm like dangling this cord. I should probably stop fucking with it. And once you reach a certain point, it's all up to your mentor. Some people apprentice for 2 years. Some people apprentice for 5 to 6 years or some fucked up bullshit like that, which I would have definitely died by then.
So apprentice means like, he starts it and you like color it in? Or
no, apprentice, like I apprenticed as in I was just learning and not getting paid. So essentially you're, I guess, like an intern.
Did you have a day job?
Yeah, I was working 7 days a week between three tattoo shops and a bar because I had to apprentice and I had to pay my rent. But after a certain time, they let you start practicing. For me, I got to practice
on
grapefruits. No, I actually worked at their Mexican restaurant that they own.
Which is called?
Bone Garden Cantina.
Oh, there's a couple of those now, isn't
there? No, there's just the one still off of Howell Mill. I worked there for 3 years.
Right.
And met some of my closest, the best friends in the whole world.
Do you like the Vortex?
I don't really eat burgers.
Are you a vegetarian?
I'm not a vegetarian, but I just don't do red meat.
You know they have a lot of food besides burgers.
Oh, but it's just like, it's just not my thing.
I had an office across the street from the Vortex in Little Five.
I've been there a bunch of times, but I usually just drink alcohol there. It's just not my, I don't really do the bar food.
Sorry.
Oh, it's just totally. All right, Matt's dying. And falling asleep all in one fail swoop.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, me too. Just kidding. It's been a great day. It's my day off. What were we talking about?
You apprenticed for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And then?
I practiced on grapefruits because I was a vegetarian at the time. And I lied and said I couldn't find pig skin, which really
is that what they want you to do?
They wanted me to find that, and I just lied.
Where does one find that?
I don't know, because I wasn't gonna find it.
But where does somebody find it?
I don't fucking know.
It must be a thing if tattoo parlors are making people do it.
Well, now you can buy shit off of like tattoo websites, and it's called a pound of flesh, and it's like a rubber hand and stuff that you can tattoo. I saw it recently, and I was like, that is weird and expensive. So I did grapefruits. which are nothing like regular skin, but it's something you can hold and put ink into. And I actually still have them because once you tattoo it, I guess it like aerates. So it just shriveled up and dried. It didn't rot. They just turn into like little rocks. And I still have almost all of them. They're just covered in dicks. I just tattooed dicks all over them because that was funny to me.
What?
So.
Let's talk about that for a minute. You know the...
Dicks? It's getting weird.
You know the iPhone texty draw picture thing?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's first one is a penis? Why do you think that is?
Because everyone knows how to draw a penis. Even if it's bad, if it's terrible, then you're going to draw it and someone's going to go, "Nah, that's a dick." And they're going to laugh a little bit. I totally drew a dick. The first
of course
one I drew
you did.
Was a dick, yeah.
If you were listening to this podcast and that wasn't the first thing you drew ever...
Then you're a square.
You're a total square, and I want to hear from you. Send me an email, mappydavis@icloud.com.
There you go. And explain why.
Because
why not?
My friend Dario sent me one. Mm-hmm. I immediately sent one to my wife.
Yep.
Different dick. I drew a different one.
Yep.
But, you know what I mean?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
I'm pretty sure she sent one to her friend.
I think I sent one to my best friend, and I always do it where hearts are coming out of it.
Instead of, right. Okay, yeah. That's good.
Like, yay!
So you, but why did you pick something so easy, though?
Because for the grapefruits?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do a stencil or anything, and I've drawn a lot of dicks in my day, so I knew I was going to nail those.
Right.
That's not weird, right?
No. So, okay, I've totally lost train of thought.
Yeah, we really got sidetracked on that dick thing. So, tattooing. What was it? How do I get clients? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
So when you're done apprenticing, how do you get to start people if you don't have people yet?
You start doing free tattoos on dummies.
On?
Dummies. AKA dumb people.
Not.
That are fine with getting a free tattoo even if it sucks.
Not.
And they're not dumb people because I tattooed a lot of my really close friends. They just love me.
Not. Yeah, not crash test dummies, but.
Just people that don't care if it sucks, but
and you just,
they wanted free tattoos.
And you just put that on Facebook, on Craigslist?
No, it was really word of mouth.
Hey, my friend Corey's starting to do tattoos.
Yeah, essentially. I don't even know how, because I tattooed a bunch of my friends, but I also managed to tattoo a bunch of total strangers that I haven't seen since. I don't even know how. Because I have a lot of return clients now, but when I was doing crappy apprentice tattoos, total strangers.
Do you have any, like, well, I was going to say massive. Other than her, like, is she the biggest one or they're bigger ones?
I have my back piece done.
You do? I haven't seen your back before, yeah. So. It is one giant thing?
Mm-hmm. It's a naked lady riding a hawk shooting an arrow. Because I'm feminist as fuck, brah.
Not really.
Can you edit that part out? That sounded really dumb.
No, I'm not going to edit it out. And you have this lady who's like a... What era is she from?
I guess probably like the 20s. I got her a long time ago.
But yeah, she's wearing running shorts. Did they have running shorts in the 20s?
This isn't right. Those are her panties. She's lifting up her skirt, showing her butt.
Because?
I don't know. I thought it was cool. I think I was like 19 or 20.
It's not running. She's not wearing running shorts.
No, this was far.
But she's wearing a Garmin.
Way earlier. What are you talking about?
She's got a Garmin that looks like a 920.
Look at her. She's got on a dress, sir.
I can say whatever I want because it's audio format.
Yeah, they would believe you. Damn it.
Are you ready for the heavily Atlanta portion of the podcast?
Oh, sure. Let's do this.
Because, like, not all – it's the Atlanta podcast. It's anybody I think is cool in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
like Corey James, a.k.a. CJ.
That's me.
Do your friends call you that?
I only like two people in the whole world call me that, but I don't know. I didn't want to.
Is your boyfriend one of them?
Every now and then, yeah.
And who else?
My mom and also my coworker Ty started calling me CJ recently, and I was like,
all right.
Okay.
Cool. He gets a pass.
Yeah.
So ready for the Atlanta portion?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you eat at the Waffle House?
Ooh, not in a long time.
Okay, when you do go, what is your favorite dish at the Waffle House?
Waffles.
Just the waffle?
Just waffles.
Blueberry waffle? Regular waffle?
No, regular ass waffle with a shitload of butter and a lot of syrup.
Favorite restaurant in Atlanta?
Oh, shiza, that's a toughie. Just like in general?
You could name a couple, like high genres? And low end.
Okay, yeah, okay. So, of course, Bone Garden, even though I worked there for a number of years, I still love going to Bone Garden. El Mariachi, I love them. I just, obviously, I have a thing for Mexican food. But high end, I love, what is it? 246, isn't that the name of it? Right by Leon's? Yeah, I think it's called 246.
I know Leon's, I don't know 246.
It's like the fancier Italian-y type place right by Leon's. Is it 246? Pretty sure it is. Anyway, it's fantastic. And I love going there. That's my favorite high end. We went to Empire State South recently, just a couple days ago, because we had a gift card. And it's fantastic, but just at the end of the day, that damn pasta at 246 just knocks it out of the park.
Good to know. Yeah, good to know.
It's good stuff.
What's the best concert you've seen in Atlanta?
I literally just went and saw the Cactus Blossoms last night at Eddie's Attic. And I haven't been to like shows in a while. Oh man, it was so good. They were phenomenal. And I had never been to Eddie's Attic before, and like sitting at a table comfortably, not standing. I'm such an old lady inside. It's like no smoking and it's quiet, and I got to sit down. Oh
yeah. Awesome. I enjoy a nice show at Chastain now. Cause I'm old.
That's great.
Used to be like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Old fucking people.
You can't even smoke there. Yeah.
I think you can't smoke at Chastain anymore.
I don't know. Probably not.
What do you think the best venue to see a show is in Atlanta?
I do dig Terminal West. I feel like some people think it's a little bougie, but I dig it. They got a good beer selection, man.
Okay.
And it's a little bit more spacious.
Okay. If you were to rank these in importance in your life,
mm-hmm.
Falcons, Braves, United, what order would those be in?
So definitely United, because I actually like soccer, and then the other two are kind of like, eh.
You were like the fourth or fifth United in a row as number one.
Yeah, maybe it's because they're just like a new thing, and we've never had like a dope-ass soccer team before, but I've just never really cared about the other two. Sorry, Atlanta.
Okay. What do you think is missing in Atlanta?
Just in general?
Yeah. What are we missing?
Oh, my God. Public transportation that isn't a shit show.
That's a big one.
Yeah. That's it. That's the big one for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Hands down, that's
right.
What it's missing.
I usually wrap up about this time because we go through the Atlanta quiz, as we call it. However, I want to talk about one thing because we talked about the mental well-being, right? We got pretty real there early on, right? Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
You're an honest person. Sometimes I've talked to people and they're just like, not much is happening, right?
Yeah.
You try to drink it out of them and it's just not happening. There are people I've interviewed that will never air. You don't tell them
Oh,
that,
really?
But that's how it goes.
So fingers crossed, mine makes it.
Well, Kyle I interviewed 3 months ago and I haven't got to it, but I will. But no, yours, trust me, yours will make it. You're rad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love that guy. He's rad. I don't ever use that word.
Well, now you do.
People that use it a lot. Oh, he's rad.
I use that word a lot.
So some people get a lot of tattoos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's their addiction. That's their I just want to change something about myself. But then the next day, they're still the same person.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
That is pretty deep. I think people that commit to getting heavily tattooed definitely are seeking, I guess, just a change that they can't. I mean, it's like a physical change that you can do. You can see it, and it's there, and it doesn't take months to do. Like if you want to lose weight or something or get super buff, that takes a long time. But if you just want something to commemorate something or a big moment in your life or something, you can just go get a tattoo. And especially heavily tattooed people, I feel like we have just accepted that we want to dive headfirst into it and just be different, I guess. I always wanted to be heavily tattooed. Like when I was young, I thought about how many tattoos I wanted to get. I knew I wanted to be covered, and that hasn't changed, and I plan on getting many more forever. I think we take a lot of pride in being that dedicated to it too, and taking it to that next level of being heavily tattooed. So, I don't know. Yeah. I kind of got a little off track, maybe.
No, I think that's a really good, I think that's an honest answer.
Okay, cool.
Again, because I don't, like, I just don't understand it, because it's not something.
I think it's also a little bit, if you want to be heavily tattooed, you have to take it a little less seriously. Like, some people are heavily tattooed, and they have it perfectly planned out. They have a full body suit or something, and it's all perfectly placed, and everything melds together. And there's people like me, and we just get them. We don't overthink it. You just do it. Like, I have some that are terrible, but I love them because they commemorate that time in my life when I decided that was cool. I'm not embarrassed by them or anything. It's just like, yeah, I got that when I was young and dumb. Cool.
So you don't regret the sparrows or anything?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit. I think maybe I could have planned things a little bit, but at the same time, it's just like, well, they're there, so it's cool. What can I change about that? I ain't gonna laser my whole body, so.
Is that what people do?
I don't think anybody lasers every single one of them off, but you can get them lasered off completely.
Well, I thought it was a whole thing now. I thought it was like a, you just, what, late, so they remove the skin?
No, the laser, it's similar to like the hair removal lasers, so it shoots under the skin and essentially like breaks up the pigment. I mean, it's terrible and it blisters and heals. I've never had one lasered, but I've seen it. I've seen this stuff happen. But yeah, it takes numerous sessions. It's way more painful than getting tattooed, and you have to do it a bunch of times before it's officially 100% gone. But it can actually be like lasered off 100%.
What about that other stuff?
What other stuff?
What's it called? Rec Balm?
Oh, that shit's bullshit.
Is it really?
It does nothing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No way. It's going to do nothing. And if it does something, it's probably really fucked up and you don't want that shit in your body. Just saying.
All right. So you want to tell people where they can find you now?
Well, now I am at a new studio space in Studioplex right down the street.
Oh, mm-hmm. We're going to be neighbors.
Yeah.
Do you want to meet at Fred's?
Oh, my God. Totally. All the time.
I love Fred's.
Shoot me a text.
I love Fred's.
It's called Sparrowhawk Studios, and I'm going to be renting a booth from there. So it's like a small studio space, kind of like an art collective. And I'll just be tattooing out of my little corner, doing Corey James tattoos.
Appointment only.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I essentially wanted to have my own, like, be able to make my own schedule and have a lot more freedom.
And you can't do that at another shop?
Mm-mm. You have
there from certain times?
Yeah, certain times, certain days, and I just wanted more freedom so that I could travel when I wanted, train when I want to, and not have, like, a set.
Do you have a website?
I do. CoreyJamesTattoo.com.
How'd you do that?
My boyfriend.
I meant, how'd you come up with the name?
Oh, you know, long hours of pondering.
Well, listen, I would love to talk to you about how you can possibly get sponsored after we hit stop on this.
Yeah, let's do that.
Happy to help. Well, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a blast.
All right, there you go. That was Corey James. Look her up. Get a tattoo done by her. Okay, everybody. I hope you have a great week. I hope I see you one of these days. Hey, let me know. Drop me a line. Drop me a review. It means the world to me to leave me a review on iTunes. Supposedly, it's easier than ever on your phone there. So just open up that new app. If you haven't downloaded yet, it's new. Some ways it's not as user-friendly, but some ways it is. So go ahead and leave me a review on the Atlanta podcast. How'd you find us? What do you like about us? Who do you want to hear from? All right. Love you, Mr. Mean It. I have got to run.